Jeff is now going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting at the first verse.
The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his or her own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "But what does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles in a loud voice and began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Israel, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened and the moon will turn red as blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then whoever calls out on the Lord for help will be saved." Amen.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we celebrate Pentecost. I know it's a week early, but it felt right that we should do it today. Pentecost, the end of the great 50 days, the period of 50 days from Easter Sunday to Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate the great gift of the Spirit poured out on God's people, the gift of the Advocate, the Helper, the Spirit that Jesus promised to his disciples. Yet it's a bit like the end of lockdown. Pentecost, although Pentecost is not an end in itself, it's often seen as the start of the church. Some refer to Pentecost as the church's birthday. But we have to be careful also if we call it the beginning, as that sounds like the work of the Spirit begins at Pentecost. Of course, Pentecost is a significant moment in the story of God's rescue of his people. It is the moment when we know that God will never abandon his people here on earth, but is always with us. It's not the beginning and it's not the end. Like many Christian festivals, Pentecost was a Jewish festival on which a significant event happened. But the understanding of the festival then changed. It was transformed. Think about how the Passover changed when Jesus shared the Last Supper with his friends. Pentecost was also known as the Festival of Weeks, the festival when Jewish communities, 50 days after Passover, would present the first fruits of the corn harvest to God and give thanks for God's goodness and provision. And Acts 2 tells us that 50 days after the Passover, the disciples were gathered together to celebrate the Festival of the Weeks. It's interesting at the beginning of Acts and verse 1, where it says they were together in one place. It's an odd thing to say, isn't it? They were together, they were in one place. In the Authorized Version, it says they were together and of one mind. I suspect that's more of what it means. They were together and of one mind. They know that Jesus has ascended to heaven and he had told them to wait. So together that's what they do. And then suddenly everything changes. The Spirit blows through the place with tongues of fire and everyone is filled with the Spirit of God. It must have been a remarkable moment, a moment when the power and love of God was displayed in a way that it had never been seen before. A moment when the people were filled with the Spirit and were transformed and equipped to speak for God in a new and different way. Pentecost was never the same again. God had reshaped the festival so that it wasn't about giving back the first fruits. It was suddenly about the whole life of the disciples being transformed and equipped by God for service. From that moment onwards, the disciples, the apostles, the early church were equipped to go out as witnesses for God, proclaiming the good news of Jesus' resurrection and the rescue that it offers. Those in the early church were focused on being witnesses, on learning to live and worship together, on praying for healing, and most of all, of seeing God at work in new and amazing ways. It transformed the life of the early church. It was a significant day in the life of the church, a watershed moment in the story of God's rescue. But what does it mean for us today, 2,000 years on? The Spirit is just as important for the church today as it was all those years ago. And that image of fire is strong through the account in Luke chapter 2. The disciples were touched with tongues of fire. They were filled with the Spirit like fire fills a grate or engulfs a building. I was reading a book the other day and the writer talks about it like this, fire, F-I-R-E, F for filled, I for interwoven, R for refined, and E for equipped. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came to those and they received it and were filled with something they couldn't explain, but others could see. And today we can still be filled with that Spirit just as the disciples were at Pentecost. In Acts we see that for some people what happened when they came to faith, and we also see for others the filling of the Spirit was a separate event on their journey of faith. For all of us there are times when we seem filled with the Spirit and times when the Spirit feels like the smallest of flames. But the promise is that God's Spirit will never leave us. When we're filled with the Spirit, We have an overwhelming sense of the presence of God within us, a sense of God living within us and through us. And when we're filled with that Spirit, faith isn't just something we think about or learn about and know in our heads. When we're filled with the Spirit, we struggle to explain exactly what it feels like. But we know something's happening to us, and others can see something different in us. Pentecost is about being filled with the Spirit. The I is for interwoven. The presence of God's Spirit wasn't new at Pentecost. We see God's Spirit at work throughout the Bible, right from the creation story. Yet at Pentecost, that changes. The Spirit is no longer for particular people in particular moments, but is poured out on all of God's people. In verse 21, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord." When we're filled with that Spirit, we are interwoven into the body of Christ. I've told you this before, but some people say to me, "I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church." And I often say to them, "But you are the church. And you will never flourish fully if you're not integrated into the body of the church. Woven together with everyone else who is filled by the Spirit, so that we can live together as the one body of God. As one body between us, we have all the gifts needed for the church to fulfill its purpose. Not individually, but woven together as one body, filled and interwoven. And then the R for refined. It's a powerful image. We know that fire changes everything, burns things, devastates things. Fire can be gentle and controlled, like on the gas ring at home that I left on overnight the other night. Or rage right the way across a field or through a forest and be destructive. A refiner's fire melts down metal. So, for example, it melts down gold or silver for purification purposes. And once a metal is melted down, the impurities rise to the top and then are removed from the metal before it cools. The Holy Spirit is at work. It isn't a dormant presence within us. The Spirit is at work and desires to refine us, to purify us, to mold us, to reshape us. It refines us into the image of Jesus so that we can be better witnesses for him. Refining isn't always an easy process, as some of us will know. There are bits of us and bits of the world that are not in line with God's idea of the world. And they are burnt away, bit by bit, so that more and more reflects the glory of God. The refining work of that Spirit is not just about us. It is about the world as well that needs to be refined by the Spirit. And we are often used to refine the world, to bring light into the dark places, to speak up against injustice. Filled, interwoven, refined, and then equipped. Equipped to be witnesses of the good news of God in Christ. The major theme throughout the book of Acts is of being witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus and the eternal life that is to come. We're filled, interwoven, refined, and equipped so that we can be witnesses and are able to proclaim who Jesus is, to share stories of the work of the Spirit within us. But there is one thing that I want us to remember when we consider and celebrate Pentecost. When the Spirit came in Acts, there was fire and tongues and loud voices. Nobody could miss it. But if you read through Scripture, you see the Spirit at work in many different ways. And on many more occasions, the Spirit is quiet and gentle rather than loud and dramatic. And remember this, the Spirit doesn't force itself upon you. You need to let it in. I'm reminded of the story of Moses and the burning bush in Exodus. If you've read the story, you'll know that Moses sees a bush on fire. But seeing that the bush is not burning up, Moses says, "I'll go over and see the bush." And Moses turns to the fire. Moses chooses to be attentive to the fire. And when he is, he hears God's voice call to him from within the flames. Sometimes it's the same for us as followers. The Holy Spirit is here with us, within us. But like Moses, we have a choice. Do we want to turn to the Spirit? Do we want to let the Spirit fill us, interweave us as a body, refine us, and equip us for all that God calls us to do? Do we want to let the Spirit in, or do we want to keep the Spirit at arm's length, a distance, and try and control it? If you and I turn to God's Spirit day after day, we will be filled again and again, refreshed again and again. And just like the prophet Joel writes, we will see sons and daughters prophesy, and we will see young men and women seeing visions, old men and women dreaming dreams. We will see the body of Christ strengthened and interwoven. We will be refined and transformed. We will be equipped afresh to be witnesses to the good news of Jesus. I know ministry here comes to an end. For some, looking ahead feels an anxious time. But remember this, you have all the skills you need to fulfill God's purposes now and into the future. And call again and again for His Spirit to enliven you, to refresh you. It's easy sometimes to be wandering roughly in the direction of God, but we don't experience the full power of God's love and transformation. Years ago, in the life of the church, Pentecost was more than a day, it was a season. And in some churches, some denominations across the world, it still remains a season, the season of Whitsun, named after the white robes that the priests wore at Pentecost and reflected the light of the sun. Like the great 50 days of Easter, Whitsun is the season of the Spirit. And it feels like more than ever we need a season of the Spirit. It starts very simply by each and every one of us turning to the fire, being attentive, and letting the Spirit fill us afresh. So I invite you, in a moment of quiet that we will have, to consciously turn your heart to God's Spirit, to be attentive to the Spirit. And as you do, ask God to fill you and us afresh, to weave you anew into the body of Christ, to refine us and equip us. May we know the power of God's love within us. May we be equipped to be the church afresh and to proclaim the good news of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. Amen.